You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
All right, welcome back in. We started the show with a little NFL talk. We'll dive in now with our friend John Ledger, Tampa Bay Bucks NFL draft for Pewter Report. He is on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. John, welcome back.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, so Maddie and I had a nice, healthy disagreement at the start of the show. I think that the Tampa Bay issues against the Saints were many. They played a very good team. I don't think Tom has the chemistry that he would like to have yet. I don't think his offensive line is great. I thought that the throw that he the pick six had plenty of zip on it. It just was late. It was late, and maybe it wasn't as accurate as he needed to be. But I think people are pointing to his pick six as like he threw an off-speed changeup out there because he doesn't have the velocity anymore. I saw plenty of zip. Maddie disagrees. You be the tiebreaker.
Oh, yeah. I mean, arm strength is not a concern with Tom Brady. It hasn't been a concern with Tom Brady really at any point that it's been part of the narrative, nor his desire or willingness or ability to throw deep. It's all been kind of the things that have been talked about, but none of it's true. Yeah, I mean, that throw was really a bad decision, I think, more than anything. I mean, yeah, the zip wasn't a problem. It was just that Janoris was kind of sitting right there, and it was like Brady didn't see him. And, I mean, if anything, the issue with Brady over the last, like, year and a half has been decision-making, which sounds ridiculous to say because he's probably the best decision-maker ever at quarterback. But that's been really the problem. I mean, if you watch his tape last year, if people actually watched it, you know, they would see that arm strength wasn't the concern with Brady last year. It was at times he looked frustrated. He looked pissed off because that offense, nothing was flowing or nothing was happening in that offense. There weren't players getting open, and so he'd force the ball into coverage. Now, you know, you'd think going to a team like the Bucs, that would change. And I do think for the most part it did. I mean, it did change. I think he was very good the other day. But I think that throws like that one kind of remind you that that's been the issue really more than anything, and that he's got to kind of take what's there a little bit more rather than trying to force stuff as much as he did. But, I mean, yeah, the deep ball was a strength the other day. Threw 8 passes, 20 yards or more. 5 of them were right on the money. 3 of them were DPI, right on the money passes, and 2 of them were completed. The other ones were kind of mistakes by the receivers. They should have altered their routes, and they didn't based on the coverage. And then the third one, the eighth one was a bad pass to O.J. Howard down the left sideline. So more good than bad and plenty of willingness to throw the ball deep. We'll just got to see how it progresses now.
John, they made a splash, man, when they went out and got Leonard Fournette, and you look how the carries were split up, and I get he just got there not too long ago, but Ronald Jones gets 17 carries, Leonard Fournette only 5. Do you think that's just because he got there, or does Bruce Arians really have a ton of confidence in what Ronald Jones could potentially bring this offense?
Probably a little bit of both, if we're being honest, but definitely Ronald Jones' backfield right now. I think Arians was pretty happy with the way that Jones ran. I was too. I mean, there was not a lot of space to run to. I don't think Jones is an amazing player. I thought that he was decent the other day, and Leonard Fournette was bad. And I don't think that's a tendency breaker from Leonard Fournette. I think that his tape in the NFL as a runner has mostly been a lot of hesitation behind the line of scrimmage, not a lot of vision, especially once he has to move horizontally at all after the line of scrimmage, and a lack of a decision in terms of putting his foot on the ground and just getting vertical. You know, his best traits are his size and his speed when he's at max speed, and he just hasn't done that. He hasn't gotten vertical and been able to use his best traits. And so, therefore, he's a lot easier to bring down as a big back, big target. So he just isn't creating or seeing it right now. That's been a struggle for him over the course of his career. That has been the vision. So I think that, you know, they really want to see everything that Fournette has to offer. So I do think he'll end up getting more opportunities. And that, I guess, would technically probably come at the expense of Jones a little bit. Although LeSean McCoy had 25 snaps the other day, too. That number will probably decrease. But I do think that Jones is the better runner, and I think that he'll hold on to that throughout the season as long as he stays away from some of the boneheaded mistakes, because those are things that Fournette won't do. He doesn't drop passes that much. He doesn't blow protections, things like that. So that'll be where he has a chance to earn playing time over Rojo.
John Ledger, Pewter Report here on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. John, we don't have a ton of evidence anymore of running backs drafted in the top 5. Certainly the one that Maddie just mentioned in Fournette, we have Zeke, certainly. We have, Who else am Saquon. I thinking? Oh, Saquon. Okay, so that's the point I'm getting to, is that the narrative today is that, oh, here's another reason, don't go big on a running back early on. Well, Zeke's worked out pretty well, and Barkley's on a very questionable team, I would think. Why is this an overreaction? Because it is to me. I think he's a beast. I think he's bust-proof. I think he's great in the passing game. I'm hearing guys, well, if you took away every great long play he had over the last couple of years, like his average – well, the reason he's getting those splash plays sometimes is because he's so good. So why would you want to take those away to lower his dollar cost down his average? Like, I think it's ridiculous. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely good points being made on both sides of that. I mean, you're right. You can't take away a player's best plays and then say, well, other than his best plays, he's not good. Well, I mean, that's everybody. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's almost everybody. But I'd say that's a poorly phrased argument for what the overall point should be, in that running back efficiency is maybe more important than having a splash play once every month or something like that for a running back that another running back might have. But instead, consistently being able to keep an offense on schedule, and because running back efficiency is so easily replaced, that's why the position isn't as valuable. So Barkley can be great, but the reality is that for the most part, his impact can be replaced in other ways easier than the impact of other positions. That's why I would say I'm definitely on the side of not drafting a running back high. And I think all the analytics and data have shown that. I'm definitely on the side of being very careful about paying a running back and making sure that your cap is in position where that's not going to kill you down the road, as it is right now with the Rams, as it was with the Cardinals before Bill O'Brien bailed them out. Devontae Freeman, a terrible contract for Atlanta as well. I mean, really, Zeke's the only example of it working at Le'Veon Bell. I mean, the Jets are trying to get rid of him probably. So, I mean, Zeke's really the only example of it working out where it's happened. Now we just saw it happen with Kamara and McCaffrey and Mixon and Cook, and so we got four new cases to evaluate. Different players. I think these guys are pretty dynamic, but especially McCaffrey and Kamara, because they're basically wide receivers. I don't think maybe you would say that about Le'Veon, but I don't know the other guys you would have referred to that way in their usage. And so those two will be interesting to monitor how it progresses. Cook has never played 16 games, so that's an interesting wrinkle to throw in his. I think he's a great player, but again, never played 16 games. That's tough to wrap your head around at that position, paying them big money. And then Mixon, I know he's had horrible offensive lines. I think there's just a lot still to learn about him. So those guys will be very interesting to track and monitor, but history has shown us that it's not a very good idea. So we'll see if any of those guys can buck the trend.
John, I know you cover some NFL draft stuff as well for the Pewter Report. A couple Buckeyes right now have opted out to get ready for the NFL draft. Sean Wade and Wyatt Davis. I wanted to ask you about Sean Wade specifically, because some of the reason why he came back, obviously, was to win, but to prove he could do some other things maybe out there on the island. From what you've seen from him, do you think teams are going to be comfortable enough sliding him up there easily in the first round based off his tape?
It's so hard to know because of how the draft is going to fall as a whole. I mean, the position is valuable, obviously. In a vacuum, like if you ask me, like, is Sean Wade in a normal draft class with, normal stuff happening every position, is he a first-round caliber player? I would probably lean toward no, but I think he's a good player. I think he's probably closer to his ceiling than some of these other Ohio State corners we've seen come out past, where I thought Okuda and Lattimore, I thought those guys were guys that could be, like, best players at their positions in the league hypothetically someday. Like, that's how talented they were. I mean, Garen Conley, I was a big Garen Conley fan. I think he's going to find his way this season, started to a little bit second half of last season, but those guys all to me just had way higher ceilings than Sean Wade. I think Wade's a good player. It'll be also be interesting because he played mostly in the slot in college. Can he move outside, and how does he do there? His 40 time will matter a lot out there. His arm length will matter a lot out there. And so there's still question marks. I like him as a player. I don't love him as a player. And I think that's mostly how most teams, I think Dane Brugler said the other day that a couple teams have him in the first round, a lot of teams have him in the third round. And so there's a lot of variance on him. So I would guess that means his combine, since he's not playing this year, his combine will be a pretty big deal.
Great stuff with John Ledger. Check him out at Ledgered NFL Draft. John, good to have you, buddy. We will pick your brain again very soon. Thanks, pal.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.